Good day. Here at Brookings Radio, we welcome Roger DeGroot, candidate for District 7 state primary for House of Representatives on the Republican side. And Roger, first of all, why did you decide to run for the House of Representatives?
Well, that's an interesting question, Perry. When I was a superintendent and principal both, I took on leadership roles, and that would take me out to peer, and I would lobby. And when I would sit up in the gallery, I looked down and I watched those folks work, and I told myself, someday, that's what I want to do. Secondly, I was superintendent in Brookings for 8 years, and the folks in Aurora and in Brookings were tremendously supportive of me, whether we were going after a bond issue or an opt-out or those kinds of things. And I thought, I'm retired now. It's time for me to give back to those two communities in District 7.
For those who don't know you, tell us a bit about yourself. Obvious former superintendent of schools for Brookings.
Right. Education is my life. I was in education over 40 years. I was a principal teacher, superintendent here in Brookings, and also 3 years on a school board in Brookings as well.
Let's talk about some of the issues. And obviously, we're a long ways yet from session, so it's going to be kind of general. But let's talk a little bit about the budget. Probably going to be very different from this year, where there was tons of federal money. The economy was booming. We don't know what's ahead for sure. But as we sit here right now, what are your priorities for the state budget?
Well, the state budget to me right now is an unknown, because there's been, the same way with the school budget, there's been a lot of money coming in from the federal government at both levels. And I assume that there's some of that money left over that we can deal with when we get out to the session. My priority is always going to be education. I've been in it all my life. The other thing that when I get out there, we need to, find money for workforce development. And I'll just give you an example of that. I was at a meeting with Dusty Johnson, and there were several of the Brookings people that run industries here. And their big concern is they do not have workers. So whatever we can do, and I'm not sure what that is, Perry, but whatever we can do at the state level, I would really like to do what we can for Brookings and other communities that are short that workforce.
You mentioned education, obviously a big part of the state budget every year. K-12 got a 6% increase this year. I'd be surprised if it was at that level next year. Where would you like to see it?
Well, historically, education has been funded the last minute of the last day, sometimes even covering the clock up. It was never a priority. The last couple of years, however, with Governor Noem, she's made it a priority, and it's been up front. And it was 6% this year, and last year, it was in 3 to 4% areas. So those ranges are doable. But if we go back to the day when we're at zero and maybe reduced by some, that will be an issue in education.
Teacher salaries are nearing the bottom once again for South Dakota. How can we get them up a little maybe and keep them there? Do you have any ideas?
That's really an interesting question. I haven't been in peer. I haven't been, in appropriations to see where the money goes and how it gets split up. But we need to make it a priority and find the money somehow to fund education. Teacher salaries continually in this state are lacking. They're behind everybody else. We got that half penny and salaries went up. This year, 6% up. Actually, here in Brookings, I think it's going to go up 7%. So, the Brookings School Board is doing what they can. Even when I was a superintendent and on the school board, sometimes we would give the teachers more money than we get from the state. And that causes some deficit spending, and you have to spend down your reserves. And sooner or later, there has to be another revenue source for education.
Any ideas where that might be?
Well, we have the half penny. There's always a full penny, but I wouldn't advocate that at all. I'm no tax increase. Right. That's an area, Perry, that I'd have to get out there and take a look at. Sure. And talk to some other folks that have been there for a while and maybe find that.
The other facet to education, of course, higher education, extremely important here in Brookings. And universities and tech schools both did well this past session. Would you like to see that sort of thing continue, where we can give a tuition freeze or some sort of help for more help for universities?
Whatever we can do to help SDSU and Laddie up in Watertown and other, higher institutions of education, we need to do that. Because I talked about it earlier, the workforce. That's where it comes from. I mean, SDSU trains a lot of folks, and there's an engineer who goes out to Daktronics and works, those kinds of things. We need to try to keep those folks in town. So whatever we can do to bring young people into the state from out of state, go to school, train them, and try to keep them here. That would be wonderful.
Juvenile justice has become a hot-button issue, and you were in on some of that, too, as a school board member and what's been going on there. What are your thoughts on where we're at and where we might be headed?
Well, that juvenile justice bill came about when I was a superintendent. There was a large committee that put it in place. As a superintendent, I was against the bill because it kind of just dropped the kids back in our laps, put them back in the school district. And I understand that there was a bill out there, I think VJ's bill last year, to try to change that a little bit. I've talked to Dan Nelson about that very issue, and he has a program in place here in Brookings that's like a diversion program, and maybe if that works, that can take the place of it. Because I'll give you an example. If a student got kicked out of school in the morning for, you know, marijuana possession, he would, in the old days, they would be taken away and they would be dealt with in a penal institution. And I'm not saying that's the right way to do it either. But when this bill came through, they could get caught in school in the afternoon. They could virtually be back in school if we didn't suspend them on our own. So there's some work to be done there. And I would like to take a look at what VJ had in place. And then maybe there was a big committee that put it in place. Let's maybe put a light committee back together and take a look at that.
There at least will be a summer study. That's been confirmed.
So. Certainly.
Yeah. What are the priorities for you if you're elected and go to appear as a state representative from District 7?
Well, you know, I kind of listed them already.
Right.
You know,
it's
the education, yeah. and it's the workforce development. And I'm sure there's going to be many other topics you're going to come up with that, because I'm kind of a newbie at this. I'm not an old hand. I'm not Larry Tiedemann, who knows, you know, everything that goes on out in Pierre. So I'll have to go out there, and it's going to be a little bit of a learning curve. But I'm a quick learner.
One final question. Why should the Republican voters in District 7 vote for Roger DeGroot in the primary June 7th?
Because I'm a common sense leader. I have proven leadership skills. I'm a person that can bring people together. And I think we need to work on both sides of the aisle. I think just because if you're a Democrat, if they have a good idea, let's work with that. If there's a Republican, let's work with that. I will represent District 7. I'm not going out there with a national agenda. I'm there. I would be there to work for whatever's best for K-12 here, the university here, Aurora, and Brookings. I'd be just a local District 7 representative.
Roger DeGroot, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Right here at Brookings Radio.